Thank you, Marianne. Before I start this morning, I am continually encouraging you folks to give testimony. When things in your life happen that that are testimony worthy, I think it's the strongest way for us to be evangelists, for us to share God and the way God works in our lives. And so I want to just give a brief testimony about an experience I had yesterday. A good friend of mine, his name is Greg Wolf, passed from this life after a couple of year battle with pancreatic cancer a month ago. And a memorial service was scheduled at that time, and I had the privilege of being asked to preach at his service and to be with folks who regarded Greg as highly as I did. He was just such a great guy. And funerals aren't always, you don't come away always uplifted. Sometimes they're hard, and this was hard to say goodbye to a friend. But I can tell you that we spent 2 hours in worship around Greg's celebration of life, and it was the most faith-affirming funeral I have attended in my entire life. I am so glad that I was in that space and present to hear people talk about the way Greg lived and the way Greg died. He retired from ministry a few years ago, but was serving the Napoleon Church in retirement, and he would not stop preaching. He preached until only a few weeks before he passed away, until he physically did not have the strength to enter the pulpit. And he read scripture every day. When I asked his wife what I might preach from, can you hand me a few scriptures? Normally when you ask a family that question, was there a favorite scripture passage or something that you would like me to share in the service, it's like crickets in the room. Often they're either afraid to speak or they don't know what the favorite scripture of their loved one has been. Or they haven't told that story, but I got an email later in the week from Sue, Greg's wife, and there were 18 passages in it that I could pick from. She said, I don't even know if these are his favorites, but he just loved scripture, he said. He found something fascinating in every part of it. Right? When you experience things like that, that change you, they're worth sharing. My prayer for you is that you would experience this kind of faith-affirming service at some point, somewhere, and come away having been changed. It was transformative, and it was, that's how God works, and I'm just here to tell you that I am a witness to watching God do God's work in this way, and I'm blessed. Thanks very much. Pray with me. Dear God, we ask that you prepare our hearts and minds this morning, not just to hear the words offered in this space, but to experience the holy, to be ushered into the presence of the Holy Spirit in a way that we are changed, just having been present. Lord, I ask that you help me to pour myself out, to humble myself before you, that you would so fill me with your Holy Spirit that anything that I would have to offer this morning would be pleasing to you and to serve you in spite of me. I pray this in all things in Jesus' holy name. Amen. This is Memorial Day weekend. We've talked about it several times this morning. A weekend when Americans set aside an extra day to remember those who have served, sacrificed, and died for our freedom. We set aside time because unless we do, this remembrance can get lost, like a lot of other things, in the routine, in the mundane rhythm of our everyday lives. So we take an extra day to pause, to rest, to remember, and to express gratitude for the freedoms that we enjoy because of the sacrifices others have made. It is in our rest that we can make space for the kind of significant reflection that we often do not take time for in the business of our day-to-day lives. In order for us to seek rest, we have to know what that looks like and feels like in our own lives. And in order to allow those close to us to rest, we have to understand what that is for them. What does rest look like? What does it mean? Rest is not the same for all of us. We don't all rest the same way. Rest is identified as a spiritual practice, something that is necessary for not only our physical health, but for our emotional and spiritual health as well. Rest is critical. In a spiritual sense, rest is defined as follows. Entering into rest depends on honoring our God-given limits by paying attention to the physical, mental, and spiritual needs of our body. We learn when and how to rest. Rest, as spiritual practice, can only come if we are intentional about knowing what our own limits are. In order to know, we need to pay attention because they change over time in our lives. How many of us in this room can still physically do all the things you did when you were 20? Jordan's 27. I would even challenge you that in 7 years, young grasshopper, he says, let's take it outside. No thanks. When I was in college, it was not uncommon for me to pull all-nighters in preparation for an exam or writing a paper or doing crazy things that college students do, right? All-nighters were a thing, right? No, they are not a thing anymore in my life. When necessary, born out of procrastination, forced one of those when I was in seminary in my early 40s, my ability to recover had changed dramatically. I was most of a week trying to get back on my feet after I stayed up all night. Now I'm in my 50s, and I'm discovering new physical limits all the time. I spoke with someone on the way to church this morning, and I asked how they were, and they said, oh, my back is sore. I planted flowers all day yesterday. I'm like, wait. That's the problem. You can still plant flowers. You should probably do it just a little bit at a time, right? Understanding our limits in the different seasons of our lives helps us to know when and how to seek rest. It is at rest or in a restful place, our posture, that we can make time and space for God and for realizing the protections and provisions God has in store for us. Because our limits are all different, and they can be different in different seasons and times in our lives, monitoring or checking our limits is important spiritual work. And for the most part, the work is very personal and individual. Pastor Janet and I shared reflections on what rest is for each other so that we could share different perspectives in the message this morning. For Pastor Janet, rest can be tricky. I'm reading from her perspective. There's a lot to do at work. There's a lot to do in an old farmhouse. I think her house is 140 years old. And the 4 acres of land that it sits on. There are a lot of people in her life who don't live in the same town. She needs some play and adventure to be healthy and balanced. It's easy to fill every moment with the doing of life. The marks of busy, tired, and burnt out may look like falling asleep while watching Jeopardy at 7:30. But they may also look like snapping at her husband or having no filter or feeling overwhelmed or resentful. The questions Pastor Janet has learned to ask herself are these: what kind of rest do I need? Do I need rest from the work of ministry or from the work of home? Is my body tired? Is my mind exhausted? Is my spirit weary? How is my heart? There are times when vegging out in front of the TV with her husband can be restful for Janet, but it doesn't usually rest her mind or her spirit, she says. She has found over time that most things involving sound are not restful. She needs quiet. She needs time and space without noise. She will rarely have the television or music on if she is home alone. Pastor Janet will often take a nap on Sunday afternoon, particularly if she has preached both services. And it does wonders, she says. Good sleep is certainly rest, and she is intentional and protective of how that looks in her own life. Janet says that she rests most completely when there is some combination of sun and water and quiet space and time. An afternoon on her deck, popping in and out of the pool, is her happy place. Putting her toes in the sand and some body surfing at Lake Michigan is the equivalent of a spa treatment in her life, she says. In the winter, she can get by with a fake fireplace on Netflix and a good book curled up under a blanket on the couch on a blustery day. That's what rest looks like for Janet. For me, rest looks different. For me, rest, in the sense of sitting or lying down for any length of time, only comes when I am really exhausted. I just don't sit very well. I don't rest very well. I'm a little ADD, right, when it comes to rest. I always got something cooking, right? I'm not beyond a Sunday afternoon golf nap, like the TV on and kick back in the recliner. When I've been going hard all week, but I am not, I'm just not a very good sitter. Rest, then, comes in the form of doing something else. I simply take rest from the work of being a pastor, and sometimes that's good. In the summer, I like to hang out on or near the pontoon, but while others are content to just sit and relax in the water with a book or whatever it is they're doing, I am playing some kind of game or wiping down the boat or scrubbing the floats on the raft. And I find that relaxing. I also enjoy a round of golf or going for a walk. But it's active rest, right? I can also find rest in the business of more mundane activities like cleaning the house and doing the laundry. My wife is appreciative. Rest can simply mean resting from reading and writing and visiting and doing all the things that are part of my work life. I find it very relaxing to accomplish the things the rhythm of my work hasn't allowed time to accomplish. And it frees my mind and my soul to just have things done. That way, when I do need to sit or nap, I can do so without thinking about the long list of things that are left undone while I'm trying to rest. I don't always need to sit in one place or to take a nap to be at rest. It's different for all of us. It's important to know, though, what your rhythm of rest is. What does it require for you to really be at rest? If I really want to rest on the golf course, I'll go play by myself. It's me strolling around, strolling along, hitting the ball more often than I would like, but hitting the ball, right? And hanging out with God. That is a time when I can just talk with God, when I'm walking along on the golf course. Rest is a common theme in Scripture, especially in the Psalms. Honoring God has long required time and space set aside exclusively for God. When God is described as a jealous God, I think it means that God wants to spend uninterrupted quality time with us so that we can find the many blessings that God has already given us. God doesn't necessarily bless us more when we spend more time with God, but our awareness of God's blessings is better when we spend time exclusively with God. Psalm 91, this passage we shared this morning, In that passage, the psalmist seems to understand the importance of rest, telling us that when we seek rest in the Lord, we are protected from the things that cause us stress or fear or worry. The images the writer uses here are those of shelter and shadow, as opposed to being directly in the sun, refuge, safety, rescue, and protection. The concerns of the day were most often physical in nature. Food, shelter, personal safety, community, and protection from illness and disease were things folks were concerned about in those days. To be honest, people in the world are still concerned about those things. The writer is saying that God is the provider of these protections, and in that seeking God, we will find the other forms of protection we need. For the psalmist, rest then comes in the form of relief from the struggles of the day, or in the form of release from the constant task of meeting his own personal needs. When those things are released to the Lord or sought in the Lord, there is time and space to realize the many blessings that God has given. Rest itself, in fact, is one of those blessings. Psalm 62, verse 1 says, "My soul finds rest in God alone." What does it mean to rest our souls? Why do our souls even need rest anyway? Soul rest is necessary because our souls are the seat of the holy within us. It is from this place we find the motivation and the energy to do the things that God is calling us to do. Our souls can get weary of the many demands our family, our culture, and even our church family can ask of us. If we are constantly giving without taking the time to rest and replenish, we begin to do things out of self-serving or self-seeking motivations, and we can quickly burn out. Those don't give back the way that selfless acts do. "Be at rest once more, O my soul, for the Lord has been good to you." Psalm 116, verse 7. Once again, the psalmist is encouraging rest for the soul so we can realize the goodness of God in our lives. So how do we practice this rest thing? What are some practical suggestions for resting? There are a few. Set aside unhurried time to rest and to be refreshed rather than to work at anything. I need to work on this. Identify the activities that you find most restful: curling up by the fireplace, walking on the beach, taking a nap, calling or spending time with family. Do the things that refuel you without feeling guilty about the things you are not doing in order to pay attention to rest. I need to work on that too, actually. Pay attention to the way you feel when finishing a particular kind of activity, asking yourself these questions. How am I feeling physically? Am I emotionally or spiritually fed or drained after doing that? When you're seeking rest, avoid those things that are draining for the things that refuel you. You know, we're a big church. We have a lot going on here. There are lots of ways to volunteer. But I will often say to folks, if your volunteer work at church is sucking the life out of you, pick something else. Right? Because two things are happening. One, you're probably serving in an area that you're not especially gifted to serve in, or being called to serve in at that moment in your life, so it drains you. And two, you taking that volunteer spot probably keeps someone who is gifted and called to do that work from having access to it. God equips and calls all of us to the work of the church. If you feel like you have to do something or it won't get done, you're not trusting God to provide in that work. Another suggestion: develop an intentional rhythm of rest and work in your life and maintain that rhythm, paying special attention to changes that might need to be made. The rhythm that is healthy for us today might not be the same depending on our physical and emotional limitations tomorrow. I know when I am out of rhythm with work and rest by some of the same things that Janet indicated. If I am curt or short with people, that is a clear indication that I am not well rested. I love you, folks. I don't ever want to insult you or snap at you, but sometimes if rest gets thin, so can my patience. I'm just like you. If sarcasm is not just playful but seeks to make a point that could or should be made in personal, compassionate conversation, I'm probably not at my best. When the things that are motivating me are born out of avoiding conflict or quieting complaints, it is possible because I don't have the energy to deal with them in healthier ways that I am tired. I'll just do it myself. I'll just take care of that. It's easier to do it myself than to get someone else to do it or convince someone else that they should do it another way. Like, those are indications that I don't have the energy to lead people in ministry. Similarly, when I find myself doing things so that I am getting the attention or seeking affirmation from others in order to feed my ego, I am out of balance. Maintaining margin or boundaries requires us to know our limits and when we are reaching them. We have to pay attention in our lives. Right? Rest bears fruit in our lives, though. When we get this balance right, our lives are full of fruit. When we rest in the Lord, as the psalmist does, we find fruit in many ways. When we are well rested, we want to keep company with Jesus. And we crave rest over the addictions of busyness and rush and hurry. When we're well rested, rest allows us freedom from the compulsion to take or identify or take our identity from what we do instead of realize who we are in Jesus. Right? When we're exhausted, we're all wrapped up in the addiction of busyness, when our work life, it just consumes us because that's who we are and that's what we do. We're not in sync with God in our lives, I think. Living within the boundaries we set for ourselves honors God by leaving room for intentional spiritual growth. And rest leaves time for us to delight in God, to delight in family, to delight in the rhythm of the seasons, to see the first snowflakes in the fall and early winter and marvel at their beauty. Instead of grumbling about the inconvenience. We can delight in meals and be grateful for what we have, and we can spend time in gratitude for all the many gifts that God intends for us. If we find ourselves rushing from one thing to another and constantly complaining about the busyness in our lives, or not having time to enjoy life, it is probably because we haven't taken the time to notice the many ways that God is blessing us. And life can be a drag in that place. In God's great wisdom, God himself set aside a day of rest at the completion of his work of creation. Rest is intended for our human existence. We have followed that wisdom by setting aside a day of rest each week. This weekend, there's an extra day set aside so that we can honor the sacrifice of others. While we are taking time to honor those who have sacrificed for us, let's not forget to honor God and the sacrifices God has made on our behalf in and through his Son, Jesus Christ. May we build margin into our lives so that there is always room for us to see God working in and around and through us. Rest. Be at rest. Enjoy rest. Rest in the Lord and find God's blessing.